Hello, everybody. Welcome inside an all-new episode of the Tall Can Audio Podcast for your Friday afternoon. It's been a little quiet here the last day or two, but lots of good stuff earlier in the week. If you missed it, obviously, Rob and I with the usual Monday morning show. And then Tuesday, James Wood, Big Daddy Hammy. We got to the bottom of that that handle on that episode of the show. And then Wednesday, Lever was here a day early this week. So lots of good stuff up right now. But we are in the heart of spring training. We're getting ready to come down the stretch. Opening day now less than 2 weeks away. So we thought we'd check in with our friend Mike Wilner from the Toronto Star. We'll get to that in just a second. Before we do, I hope you're following along on social media at Tall Can Audio. Make sure you're subscribed to the pod wherever you're hearing me right now, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are. There's a follow button, there's a subscribe button. Hope you'll hit that and stick around. We're going to have lots of great stuff here yet to come. I also want to give one final shout out before their event, Pucks and Pints for Purpose, which is being hosted by the Bytown Beer Sisters on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at Craft Ottawa. That's going to be a fundraiser for local children's charities. Your ticket gets you a pint, gets you an appetizer. There's going to be some raffles, some other prizes going on while you're there. And of course, the PWHL Ottawa versus Boston game up on the big screens around the restaurant. So that's going to be really cool. If you're a craft beer person, if you're a hockey person, there's a little something for everybody. Craft Man has an awesome selection of craft beers, perhaps not surprisingly, given the name. If you want to get more information on that, visit at Bytown Beer Sisters on Instagram. There's info all over their profile, and a link to tickets is on their actual profile page. So check that out again, at Bytown Beer Sisters. It's Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at Craft Ottawa. With all that out of the way, let's bring him in from the Toronto Star and the Deep Left Field podcast. It's Mike Wilner. How are you today, Mike?
Doing all right, thanks. A little bit older, but not bad.
Yeah, Mike just celebrated a birthday, so happy birthday to you. And, you know, you're making a little time for us. Always appreciate that. I was just telling our listeners about an event here in Ottawa over at Craft Ottawa. That's on Saturday by the Bytown Beer Sisters. It's a fundraiser for some local children's charities. I understand, though, Mike, that you've got your own craft beer, craft brewery-hosted event coming up next week.
Yeah, that's right. There's a great little brewery here called Left Field Brewery.
Left Field.
They're big into baseball, and there's a natural relationship with them and with Deep Left Field that, you know, we've both been trying to cultivate for quite a while. And they're hosting what they're calling Inside Baseball, and I'm going to host it, talk baseball with Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet. We'll take Q&A from the audience. We'll have a couple of special guests. It's going to be a really great night. It, you know, there was a long time in there where there was a speaker series called Pitch Talks that went on for like 3 or 4 years. And I did a ton of those and had a great time. And I think this is going to be reminiscent of that. And hopefully we can we can turn this into a regular thing if there's the appetite for it. And I mean, I know there is. I'd love to get something like that going again. So this is a really cool first step. And it comes at a time of year when, you know, people are starting to get itchy for baseball, which is great.
Still spots available. Do you have to buy tickets? What do people need to know?
Yeah, still spots available, I think. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. So just go to leftfieldbrewery.ca or check out my socials at Wilnerness on Twitter, but preferably on Blue Sky. If you want interaction with me, you're better off going to Blue Sky because I'm trying to stay away from Twitter as much as possible. And I'll have links through there, and they'll have a link on their website as well. It's right downtown in Toronto at Liberty Village on Monday, the 18th. I think doors are at 6:30, and the event starts at 7:30.
They make really nice stuff, and actually, we got some stuff from them not too long ago. We were talking to, I guess, maybe around this time last year. I could be wrong. Dan Schulman had collaborated with them on a. Yep. On a beer at that point, and so they were good enough to send a couple things along, and we were able to talk about that. But just in general, I've placed a bunch of orders. They make great beer. So if you're in the GTA and looking to talk some baseball and try a few things, you won't be disappointed. Mike, I want to ask you just briefly here as a little bit of a downer of a topic, but I've kind of been reflecting over this week marks the 4-year anniversary since the world kind of shut down for sports and everything else when 2020 set in, the pandemic, all of that. And, you know, this past Monday marked the Rudy Gobert, the one game there, and that gets shut down, and he's got his hands all over the microphone. Tuesday, the NBA and NHL shut down. I'm curious, you know, there was some brief talk. I don't know, you'd have a better memory of this than I would, that maybe with so much of baseball being outside, that maybe they would try and keep going a little bit longer. Were you in Florida when this happened? What do you remember around the baseball world when the sports world all shut down?
I remember it really, really well. Maybe because it was the lead up to my 50th birthday, and we were, you know, trying to plan things and get my kids down there and trying to figure things out. But I remember on the Wednesday, which I want to say was March 11th.
I think that's right.
I could be wrong about whether it was a Tuesday or the Wednesday, but I remember that I was off that day for the broadcast. This was, you know, while I was still the radio guy, and we had Ben Wagner when he was still the radio guy.
Right.
We each had like 4 or 5 games off over the course of the spring, so we didn't have to work 28 days in a row. And the Wednesday... Thursday was the last day. So, yeah, the Wednesday was one of my days off. And I remember going for a walk from Clearwater Beach onto the mainland and talking to my kids while I was on that walk and saying, no, it's fine. The border's not going to be closed. Everything's going to be okay. They were worried that if they came to Florida for my 50th, they wouldn't be able to get back home.
Right.
Because, you know, they were talking about shutting down the border. And, you know, at the time, we weren't really thinking about anything changing. I was confident I would be there that weekend and baseball would continue. This was before hockey and basketball shut down. And I remember, you know, reassuring them, don't worry, it'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be able to get home. Everything will be, you know, trying to convince them that it was going to be fine to come down for my 50th. Mm-hmm. And then that night was a draft for a fantasy baseball league of mine. And I remember over the course of that 4-hour draft, everything changing hour by hour. It was the NHL shut down, and then the NBA shut down. And then, you know, 3/4 of the way through the draft, I called my kids and I said, okay, you know what? You're not coming.
Right.
This isn't going to happen. And I don't even know if I'm going to be here. And then went to the ballpark the next day, and the Blue Jays were playing against the kids from Baseball Canada. It was that annual game, yeah. You know, the 16-year-olds. And I remember being on the field and talking to Greg Hamilton, who's the guy who runs Baseball Canada, does a phenomenal job. But Joe Siddle as well was down there because he was an ex, you know, Canadian baseball player. Mm-hmm. And I remember specifically being on the field and joking around with people, don't touch your face, because that was, you know, that was what everyone was talking about with the droplets and, yeah, and all that stuff. And before the game, walking around the concourse and thinking, is this happening? You know, are they actually going to play? Are we going to be here tomorrow? And the game started. And like in the third inning, it was starting to be reported that spring training was going to be canceled after that day. The Blue Jays were, the rest of the team was in Bradenton. It was a split squad. And we thought, are they even going to play that game? And in the seventh inning, I was literally, you know, booking a ticket on Air Canada that night to get the hell out of there.
Right. It happened that fast. Like it is. I can remember I was helping organize a tournament here, and I was doing something at about 11 a.m. The person who was helping me asked me to put together a letter that said, hey, we're going to skip the post-game handshakes. And here's why, you know, we all think for public health reasons. And we were arguing, is this too alarmist, right? And our tournament was going to be held on like the 25th or the 28th or something like that. And so, as you said, it's the 11th. And let's just get out ahead of it. We'll just, you know, everything is going to be fine. We'll look forward to reintroducing the handshakes when we do this again next year and all this stuff. But we were debating, is this going to be too much? And literally within 5 hours, scrap the idea of writing that letter. We're canceling the tournament. Like, it just unraveled that fast.
It went that fast. And I think the Rudy Gobert thing really helped move it along a lot. As dumb as he was, it sort of made things happen. But yeah, it really, everything changed so quickly. And we left in spring training. We're like, all right, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, this is going to be a little bit of nothing. And I remember telling people, look, if this works, then everyone's going to think this was too much because nobody's going to get sick and it's going to be fine. And wow, you know what? Wow.
Well, we talked on this show about it that Sunday, and I was saying to my co-host at the time, you know, I think they're probably going to have to shut some of these sports down for a couple of weeks. And he was calling me, we've joked about it 100 times since, he was calling me the worrier and the alarmist. And it turns out I had drastically underestimated what was about to happen, right?
Yeah, we all did, because none of us have ever been through anything like this in our lifetimes. And there was a thought that baseball could have come back early because it was so outside. Mm-hmm. And baseball really could have come back early. They ultimately only played 60 games in 2020 because of the owners, because the owners saw it as an opportunity. We're going to have to play in front of no fans. So we're not going to make as much money as we ordinarily would. Not that they're going to lose money. Nobody's losing money, but you know, we're not going to make as much money as we normally would, and we don't want to have to pay the player. We want to have to pay the players as little as possible. So they could have come back in May. There could have been a 100-game season. There could have been a 120-game season. It was all about a money grab for the owners that they only played 60, unfortunately. The fact that hockey and basketball beat baseball back to the field was ridiculous.
Yes, for sure. Well, let's talk about a couple of more positive things here. You've been able to jump back and forth across the border here a couple times during spring training, and you're going to do it again, I'm sure, before it's out. But I'm curious, when you went down, you know, what you maybe had your eye on when you arrived, what you thought might be the most interesting stories, and what you came home with that maybe was surprising to you or that you hadn't thought to be looking for. What were the storylines for you in the first couple of weeks of spring training here?
Hey, you know what? I had never been to spring training as early as I went this year. Never. I think this is my 23rd spring training, but I'd never been there for report day. And I'd never been there significantly before there were any games, when there were just pitchers and catchers, although almost every position player reported early anyway. So that was really interesting and different for me, and a chance to get to watch first bullpens and super early hitting and a lot of that stuff. You know, the storyline is the same as it is, or same as it has been for the last 3 springs for the Blue Jays, which is unfinished business and disappointing ending to a season, and how do you come back from that? The interesting thing about this year is that nothing matters until the playoffs. Nothing matters for this team. Doesn't matter how they do. Doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how it feels, because this team is 0-6 in the playoffs over the last 4 years. And until they win a playoff game, and that can't happen till October, nothing matters. And that, I think, is going to be the theme for the entire year. There were some interesting things that came up. They always do. And a lot of interesting things generally come up from a sit-down that I have annually with Bo Bichette every spring, because Bo's a really tough guy to get in with. He's not one of those empty cliche people, but he's really thoughtful. And you have to ask him good questions if you want to get good answers. And he doesn't have time during the season to sit down with you for 12 minutes and just talk. And in spring training, he does. And I had a fantastic conversation with him last year at spring training. And I had another one with him this year. And he talked about accountability. And he talked about how the Blue Jays let a lot of things slide in the clubhouse last year. He wouldn't get into detail about them. And I followed up with Kevin Gausman, and he agreed, but also without sharing any detail. And he talked. I wrote a column about this back in February, and there's a off the Bichette interview that's on the Deep Left Field episode that I think came out at the end of February. But the fact that the team is so close, and the veterans who have been around for a while aren't used to being the veterans on their teams. There've always been older guys. There've always been people that they've deferred to, but now it's time for them to step up and be those people. And last year there was a feeling that maybe they liked each other too much to have the difficult conversations when they were necessary. And they learned from that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens out of that. We'll see. We won't be able to actually see it if people are being held accountable more this year than they were last year. But that's definitely a rather large goal of this team going into this season.
When you look at how this lineup is sort of being put together, there's some interesting elements added to it here. Like Justin Turner coming in is not going to light it up out on the bags. He's sort of a, you know, he's an older player. They've brought in Vogelbach, who, you know, may or may not yet make the team in kind of a 26th man role. But again, a guy who, you know, is going to hit and has a specific role. I guess he'll be battling with Joey Votto for that kind of spot. I'm curious, like, there seems to be, I'm not sure how this lineup is all going to click together. There's lots of talented pieces in it and pieces that could work well together. But is there a chance of having too much of one thing in this lineup in terms of not enough speed and kind of a lot of, you know, Kirk is kind of going to be similar. Would you be worried about maybe that 26-man spot should be reserved for more of a pinch runner instead of a bat like a Votto or a Vogelbach or something like that?
No, not you know, because you can't steal first, right? And if you have a guy like a Cam Eden, who is the perfect 26th man for me, I think when the rest of your roster is set well so that you only need 25, then you know you've got when you've got so many sort of I don't want to say offensive holes, but so many places that you might want to pinch hit for late in games,
yeah.
Because the Blue Jays have chosen again to, you know, double down on the defense. Then you need that bat, whether it's a Vogelbach or a Votto. And you can't really worry about the bases being clogged. They've got so many extra infielders anyway. There's always going to be a pair of legs off the bench somewhere, whether it's Clement or Espinal or Biggio. There's going to be somebody on the bench who's faster than Alejandro Kirk or Daniel Vogelbach or Justin Turner. But you're right. Those three guys are very slow, right. Among the slowest runners in the game. And you ideally, you're not in a position where a guy gets on base and it takes three hits to score him. But better that he's on base than that he's out, sure. For one thing. And secondly, you know, sometimes they hit doubles and sometimes, you know, sometimes they hit home runs. But I think it's more important to worry about having to hit for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa late in a game. You know, maybe having to hit for Davis Schneider against a righty, having to hit for Kevin Biggio maybe against a lefty, that kind of thing. Than to worry about, hey, if this guy gets on and we're down by a run, we're tied, We're going to need to run for him. But it is going to be interesting how they spread out the lack of speed, especially with Jansen hurt now, and he may not be able to answer the bell for opening day. He might. They think he might only be out a couple of weeks, but they're often very optimistic with those kinds of takes.
Jansen's been through it, right? Like he's
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, hit by a pitch and you're going to have to be down for a bit. That means more Kirk. And so that means more, you know, having to worry about running for him late in the game. But hopefully the offense plays up better than it did last season. It really should. I know a lot of people will roll their eyes at that, but it really should. Just naturally, you know, Vlad and Springer and Kirk and Varsho should all be better than they were last season. And they won't, their margins won't be so thin this year. Wait, you never know.
Yeah, no. 162 games to find out. What did you make of the Joey Votto thing? The phrase I've been using around here is my expectations are low, but my excitement's kind of high. I think if nothing else, we're getting a spring of seeing Joey Votto in Jays uniforms and in a Jays hat. And I think that's cool. At the same time, it sounds like he reached out to them looking for an opportunity and they've given it to him, but they obviously didn't go banging his door down. What do you think the expectations are between the two sides about what he might have left, what opportunity might be there? Is it as simple as having to beat out Vogelbach or what's the end goal here, do you think?
I think it is that simple. I think it's, you know, one wonders if the Blue Jays pursued Vogelbach over Votto because they either didn't think Votto would be willing to take a non-roster invite on a minor league deal or just whether plainly they were more interested in Vogelbach because he's had more recent success than Votto has. Maybe they didn't want to have to deal with the optics of releasing Joey Votto if it didn't work out. But he's given them that out, right? Because now he said, look, no, I pursued this. I want to do this. I'm trying out. I'm willing to start in Buffalo, all those things. So, you know, that there's no more, we look like villains if he does.
Office doesn't need any more PR problems.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't need any more that they can't step in themselves. But yeah, so that's not going to happen anymore. Votto says he's happy to start in Buffalo, and he said without really saying it, you know, that he'll know if he's not good enough. But I sort of feel the same way as you do. Like I have low expectations, but I'm incredibly excited by this. I mean, this is the best hitter. Depending on how you define hitting, he is the guy who in the 21st century of Major League Baseball has been the most difficult hitter for a pitcher to get out, period. He gets out less than anybody else. And, you know, he's been hurt for 2 years. The shoulder has been a problem. He had surgery. It slowed him a great deal last year. It took him way longer to come back from it than we thought. People thought that he might be able to play, if not opening day, then early April, but I don't think he played till the end of May or early June in the major leagues. And then he had to shut it down because it wasn't going well and then came back in September. So, you know, he's finally fully healthy, but he's 40. So what does one mean relative to the other? If he was 33 and had been hurt for 2 years and was finally fully healthy, I would expect him to be Joey Votto again. I don't know what to expect now, but I do know that even hurt last year, he hit 14 home runs in 65 games, which is a pace for over 30 for a full season. And the Blue Jays didn't have anybody who hit 30 home runs last year.
Right.
So I still think, like, I really honestly believe he's got one big year left in him that he doesn't want to go out off the numbers of the last couple of seasons. And
we're all hoping for that Pujols return to St. Louis, right? Like, that's the dream scenario here.
Well, even better. Pujols was fine, but he wasn't that great. But even better, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's playing time for him here. Like, right. Where does if he goes off and he's back to getting on base 40% of the time and, you know,
right,
hitting a bunch of home runs, they have to make some room for him. Does that mean Justin Turner plays third? Does that mean Vladdy plays third? I don't know. I hope that they eventually have that problem, but I think there's something left in Joey Votto, and I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to get down there and talk to him. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, no, and like I said, if nothing else, we've got some photos now of him wearing the gear,
yeah,
and taking at bats, and let's just enjoy it while we can and see what happens. So
absolutely.
Last thing for you, I want to talk a little bit about the pitching, because there's been some ups and downs there. Earlier on, we saw Ricky Tiedemann had a bit of an issue. He seems to be back and doing fine. Manoa was shut down and I don't think has been back on a mound since. So disappointing start for him after the year he had last year. Of course, Gausman was the guy we all assumed would have opening day. Some shoulder soreness. He's been saying he still thinks he can be ready to leave camp with the team, whether it's for opening day or not. We'll see. Yadier Rodriguez has had some issues. Like, I don't know which of these was the most worrying to you, if any. Like, kinda, what do you think of the state of the Jays pitching when they break camp here shortly?
I mean, it's not as good as we thought, and you know, that was another one of the storylines when I was down there early in spring talking about the health of the rotation last year, and is it even possible, right, to be that healthy again this year? And they were all confident that, you know, we take care of our bodies and we know what we're doing, and we're old, and so we, you know, but. Kevin Gausman, according to Keegan Mathison, who's down there in Florida, is going to throw a bullpen today. And if all goes well, thinks he can be up to 70 pitches by opening day, which, you know, maybe means he's the fifth starter.
Right.
When the season begins, and they, you know, maybe getting 85 pitches out of Kevin Gausman is better than asking Paolo Espino to make an emergency start, or Mitch White or something in Houston against the Astros. And it probably is. So you just worry about him trying to push it, but you kind of hope at the same time that, you know, he's old enough and he knows enough that he's not going to try to push it. Everybody likes what Bowden Francis has done this spring. And honestly, he can absolutely give them at least what Alek Manoa gave them last year, if not more, which isn't what people were hoping for from Manoa this year.
Right.
But I'm really happy that he's listening to his body, which apparently he didn't do last spring, and tried to push through a sore shoulder, and it wound up knocking him sideways for basically the entire year and creating that vortex that he fell into of terribilitude or whatever. So, you know, as worried as I would be about Francis, because even though he had those phenomenal numbers last year, he never pitched in leverage. 20 games that he pitched in, he only pitched in one, he only got one hold. And that means that they brought him in 20 times, and only once were the Blue Jays leading and the game was close enough to be considered a save situation. Right. So once he got one save, but that was protecting a 7-run lead for 3 innings. The other 18 times he came in, the Blue Jays were behind, so, or tied, but very rarely did that happen. So they, you know, he wasn't someone they were willing to use in a winning situation, which tells me something. And the fact that, you know, he thrived in those situations is giving him this opportunity to be used, you know, when the score's nothing, when the game is just starting. So that's a good thing, but I'm still not sold. We'll see. But again, he's likely to put up better numbers than Manoa put up last year, which the Blue Jays still made the playoffs, even with an ERA almost six out of your fifth starter for two thirds of the year. So, you know, there are no concerns right now about Bassett, Berríos, and Kikuchi, which is amazing because a year ago today, there were huge concerns about all three of them. But the Blue Jays rotation is stronger and deeper than almost any other teams, even with a limited Gausman and with uncertainty in the fifth starter spot.
Nice of you not to correct me there. I believe I said Yadier Rodriguez. It's, of course, Yariel Rodriguez. Yadi's a UFC fighter, so slightly different line of work.
There you go.
Last guy then I wanted to ask you about just quickly, Mitch White. You got to be careful in baseball with small sample sizes, but everyone was hopeful based on a strong six-week finish to last year's season that maybe he was back on track. What do you think the expectations are for him this year?
I think they're, from the fans, no expectations. Everybody thinks he's terrible. but that's also the problem with small samples because that's all, they've never seen him be good as a Blue Jay. So I can't really blame them. But I used to say all the time that Mitch White reminds me so much of Ross Stripling. They came up in the same organization. They were throwing partners in LA. They had very similar arsenals, but there's been a great divergence between the two over the last couple of years. Strip has wound up finding these incredible off-speed pitches that, the play at the top of the league, while White's stuff is good, but certainly not like that. But now all of a sudden, Mitch White can throw 98, which we hadn't seen before. And it's tough to be too high on him because, again, Blue Jays fans have literally never seen him pitch well. But the guy did have a 3.60 ERA with the Dodgers for 2 years, and you can't do that with smoke and mirrors and no stuff. It's in there. I really think that Mitch White is going to be a very good major league pitcher. We just have to see if he gets the opportunity. I mean, he's out of options, so I think he's making the team. But it looks like he'll be that seventh or eighth guy in the bullpen as opposed to being the fifth starter, because it looks like Francis is going to be that. But I do think if he just gets off to a decent start, doesn't get knocked around his first couple of outings, it could really grow from there, and he could wind up being as valuable a pitcher to them this year as Francis was to them last year.
We going to see Tiedemann this year at all?
Yeah. If he stays healthy, we will. But they're going to limit him to, you know, no more than 85 to 90 innings. So I think that if we see him, it won't be until August, and it'll be out of the bullpen for the last 6 weeks of the season.
Right.
But if he's healthy, we're going to see him in the big leagues.
Mike, as you know, I always appreciate it when you make some time for me. What's on the podcast this week? What's coming up in the column?
The podcast this week, the new episode dropped yesterday with Danny Jansen and Jordan Romano talking before Jansen's current injury. So I really enjoy getting Jansen and Romano together. They've been buddies for a decade, ever since they met in Bluefield in A-ball. So the two of them are on it. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is on it, a chance for everyone to get to know one of the new Blue Jays. And he's really, you know, he's got a lot of work to do with his offense, but not so much with his conversation. It was a wonderful chat. He's a really great kid who's really looking forward to playing in Toronto, and turned down offers from other teams with more money and more playing time so that he could stay in the AL East and play with the Jays, because he believes that this team can win. And also we'll introduce you to Adam Macko, who is going to pitch tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, in this spring breakout game. That's a new thing for spring training this year, where everybody's top prospects get to be on the roster for one game or two. The Jays get one. It's called the spring breakout game, and it'll be Saturday at 4 against the Yankees. And Adam Macko, who grew up in Slovakia, learned how to play baseball there, moved to Ireland for a couple of years, and then to Alberta, it's a really, really cool story, and he's a great kid. And
is he in the Teoscar trade?
He was in the Teoscar trade. Yeah, it was him and Swanson for Teoscar.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really cool story and a really terrific interview. So that's the show this week.
Terrific. Mike, no doubt I'll come knocking again throughout the season. So, you know, hope you don't mind, and thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no, always happy to talk to you. It's great conversation, and it's very much appreciated when someone, you know, wants to talk, knows what they're talking about, and has good back and forth. It's a pleasure.
Let me know on Monday what the newest thing from left field is.
They got food now. This is a new place. New location, and it's like a full restaurant along with their wonderful craft beers. So it's going to be a good time.
There he goes. Our thanks to Mike Wilner for making a little time on a Friday afternoon. Hope he's enjoyed that. Always a good time talking to Mike, and you know, baseball is dead ahead. We're like I said, less than 2 weeks away now from opening day. It's going to be a fascinating year for the Blue Jays. I'm not totally sure what to make of them at this point. I don't think they're going to be a bad team. Not sure they're going to be a great team, so we'll see. Hopefully they can get off to a nice start. We'll keep the Blue Jays content coming for you here over the next couple of weeks as we continue to march towards opening day. But that's going to do it for this week. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for checking out everything we did this week. Like I said earlier on, James Wood was here. That was Tuesday morning. Lever Sage was here Wednesday morning. We'll be back next week with lots more good stuff. So stick around. Make sure you're subscribed. That'll do it today. My name is Matt Robinson. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you Monday.
That's it. I cannot work under these conditions.
If anybody wants me, I'll be downstairs at McDougal.
Call the weekend guy. I don't care.